is.
BSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
And welcome back in, third and final hour of the program here on Monday morning. That means it is time to be joined by New Bedford City Council President Shane Burgo. Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing all right. It is a beautiful day out there. It's going to be in the 50s today.
Yes, which feels like summertime quickly approaching. So,
well, daylight savings time over the past weekend. So we lost an hour, but that's all right. We'll make it up later on in the year.
Yeah, well, and the benefit of the extra sunlight really I think does us in a lot better than having that extra hour of sleep.
Yeah, because it came out on a Sunday. I mean, if it came out a weekday, I'd feel a little bit differently about it. If I had to get up an hour earlier for coming in here, but I'll take it. So it's been a pretty interesting week here with the city council. We thought it was going to be a quiet week because there were no meetings planned. And then, you know, I guess all hell broke loose, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, well, if I could start off, actually, it's never really a quiet week for us, even when we don't have meetings scheduled. You know, as I mentioned last week, those are our official meetings, obviously, that, you know, committee meetings or city council meetings. This week is another light council meeting. We have a public safety and neighborhoods meeting this week and just a city council meeting on Thursday. But we have a number of events in other community organizations that we attend and support throughout the week or weekend. You know, just last week, I was able to attend one of the mayor's youth council meetings. We have many, many students throughout New Bedford that do amazing work. And the mayor's youth council is no surprise, a lot of the work that they do. And getting to see them kind of get together, organize a meeting, seeing some of the work that they're doing. I couldn't even pronounce some of the, they, at the time at this particular meeting, they were presenting different health issues. They were putting posters together to educate people on different health conditions. And I was listening to them pronounce some of these very difficult medical conditions that I couldn't even pronounce. So, they do a lot of work in our community and for New Bedford and really the greater New Bedford area. So getting to meet with our youth and see, I often hear people say, oh, children are our future, but really they're our present. They're, you know, they're present leader here in our community. So getting to see that work during the week. We also have the North Star Learning Center ribbon cutting, which we know is going to be so transformational for at least 135 students and families out there. During that ribbon cutting, myself and Ward 6 Councilor Ryan Pereira were at that ribbon cutting, along with many other elected officials and community members. And I was sharing how when they first started out as United Front Daycare, just in a one-room basement with only a few kids, I was one of those students that started out at United Front Daycare. And so to see how far they've come and grown, and one of the biggest highlights, I think, of North Star Learning Center is that they don't terminate children. They don't, if they become what a lot of people deem as problem children, you know, they're behavioral, difficult to deal with, they get passed on to another daycare or they, you know, get expelled. North Star does not do that. They work with the child and really help them grow. So I think that's so important, especially in New Bedford, where there are children like myself. I've shared my story about sometimes how I was not an easy child to educate and to learn. So it was programs that are like North Star and other educators within our community that really helped me blossom. We also had in Ward 4 a Kachupa Festival, the inaugural Kachupa Festival, first one, and hopefully continue annual. I believe Ralph Chumick was the winner of the Kachupa Festival, so that was great. It was difficult to try it. Even the small little bit samples that we got full very quickly. Mm-hmm. And on that same night was the 83rd annual Friendly Sons of St. Patrick Irish Gala. So a number of my colleagues were joined there in celebration of that annual event, which is a highlight of the year, not just because I'm looking forward to them opening up the dance floor typically, but... And then lastly, yesterday we got to go to the Miss New Bedford fundraiser flipping for the crown, which helps benefit our 2025 Miss New Bedford, Ashley Clark, while also benefiting the American Heart Association. So this is just a few of the events that we've gone to all week long and weekend long, helping as a council to support each other and to support our community.
And that, I mean, that is a big part of the job, is being out there, being visible, showing the community that you are involved and that you are representative for them, not just in government, but in all things, that, you know, you are there to kind of be a sounding board for. It doesn't just have to be about things related to the budget or ordinances or parking or any of these other issues. It can be just about these community connections.
Of course, because that's what makes up a city. That's what makes up a community. And I think that's why it's so important for us, especially I think I mention often that as elected officials, we want to be as connected to our constituents as possible. We are, as we harp a lot of times, local government. So we want to be your first line of defense when it comes to any issues or concerns that you have, and local politics are the most important politics. I know I have a bit of a bias, obviously, but when it comes to your day-to-day issues that concern you the most, it's going to be our local government that directly affects you. So I think it's important for us to be out in the community and interacting with our constituents and making sure that we're addressing those concerns. That's why I make it a point during these weekly
segments.
I was like, what's the word I'm looking for? To mention the neighborhood groups that we attend, which I guess is a good segue to mention that tonight, Monday, is the West End Neighborhood Association at 6 p.m. at Kearney Academy. It's the first Monday of every month, just for that way people can remember. I'll always mention it. So that's tonight. And again, that, the neighborhood person who runs that, the president of the Western Neighborhood Group, is Shantae Paris, and our council liaison who attends those meetings on behalf of the council is Ward 4 Councilor Derek Baptiste. Typically, we do have the Ward 3 Neighborhood Group this week as well, which George Ferrer runs with our Ward 3 Councilor Sean Oliver, but this week they actually have canceled that meeting. So for those of you who do typically attend the Ward 3 Neighborhood Group, that it does also happen usually on the first Wednesday of every month. This particular week, it is canceled. But those are two of the neighborhood groups that typically happen the first week of the month. And I just like to highlight those because that's another opportunity where you can air out any grievances you have and speak directly with your local government.
And so, you know, talking about the way that you're representing the people, I think that, you know, one of the big talks this week was the idea of this longevity pay, that, you know, your elected officials, you get paid a salary for what you're elected to do, and that there shouldn't be all this extra money that gets paid along the way, even though this is actually nothing new. I'd never heard anybody talk about it until this issue came up in Everett that led to the discussion about it here in New Bedford.
Yeah, so sure. I think that's the argument that I'm hearing now, too, is people essentially just feel that elected officials should not receive additional pay above and beyond what they're already receiving as a salary. And that's fine. I understand that argument. And to be honest with you, I agree with that argument. I'm one of the elected officials who believe that we don't actually do this job for the pay. I think if you ask any elected officials, they're not doing it for the pay. If we were, we wouldn't be in this kind of job. We'd find a different job, maybe in the private sector that pays a lot more. So I don't disagree with that argument that elected officials should receive a longevity pay. I agree that we don't necessarily need that incentive, essentially. I think the issue here that occurred in New Bedford specifically is that the longevity pay, and I'm glad that you called it the longevity pay because the station has been reporting it as a Burgo pay raise.
Yeah,
and I just
it's not a pay raise, it's a stipend.
Correct. And it's something, as you mentioned, has been in effect since 1992. And so for those out there there listening, I know I might sound a bit mature, but I actually wasn't even born in 1992. So this is not something that I could have ever put into effect because I wasn't even conceived at the time.
I was already in high school.
Well, you look great, Tim.
Thank you.
But so this is something that's been on the books in our city ordinance since, I believe, January 1st of 1992, to be specific. And what's been called into question, though, in specifically in the ordinance, is, I guess, the legal framework of whether or not it specifies that elected officials fall under the qualified employees. And so that's really where this all stemmed from, because since 1992, the city councilors and the assessors at large have been receiving, if they meet the qualification, you have to at least be vested of 10 years, from 10 to 14 years, you receive the minimum of $450, a one-time payment of $450. That's the amount we're talking about
right
here.
The most money is Councilor Gomes, because he's been there for over 30 years. $850.
That's the maximum. Yeah, a one-time payment of $850. And I like to mention those figures because the things that I've been hearing from people is, oh, you're getting $40,000 extra? And it's like, who told you that? And I think it's because it's getting confused with what's going on in Everett, where I believe the mayor of Everett
got, he took $180,000 overpayment.
Yeah, it was something to do with a retroactive payment, and that's not happening here in New Bedford. So I want people to understand those are two separate issues. I know it's sometimes difficult when certain people are trying to compare the two and combine it, and it gets confusing. But here in New Bedford, that's not happening. No one's getting any thousands of dollars of extra pay, and no one's trying to sneak in any extra pay. The thing that also is kind of disingenuous and confusing is individuals that claim to be budget hawks and staring at the budget every year. Again, as I mentioned, this has been in our city budget since 1992, and there is a line item in the city council budget, in the assessor's office, in that says other pay that's listed for this line item, for longevity pay. And so the budget that the city council approved, as well as the mayor's office, our city government, allocated the funding for this longevity pay. So in this case, for example, if you add up all the people who are eligible for longevity pay, the assessors at large, as well as the counselors, I believe the total is about a little under $5,000. So,
because I think there's only four counselors that would be, or is it three?
Of five, actually.
Five, okay.
Yes. And so of those five counselors, that money has been allocated and budgeted for, but it wasn't given out, essentially. So the confusion here is, well, if we allocated that funding, the funding was put there to pay that out, and now the administration's withholding that funding, what happens to that money that's been allocated for this purpose? So, because that was the other misconception out there, is that we were trying to add this money into the budget, and that's not the case at all. This is money that's already included in the budget for this purpose, but has been withheld. And that's where this all stemmed from.
Is that what the motion was originally going to be for?
Around this discussion, correct. And Councilor Morehead obviously decided she didn't want to have that discussion because, as I mentioned, this is such a small amount of funding. As I mentioned, the minimum is $450 with a maximum where, you know, Councilor Gomes is a unique situation where he's the only one receiving that maximum amount. Him and, I believe, Assessor Tredup are the two public servants who have served the longest and reached that 30-year mark, where they're reaching the $850. But other than that, it's such a small figure where we decided, okay, we'll wait until maybe budget session to talk about this, because why are we allocating money that's not actually being used? What are you doing with the money that has been allocated for this actual purpose? But so this is all a part of the general, you know, governmental process that we take up. Nothing, as I mentioned before, I think last week when we talked about this, it's not about us hiding anything or trying to mislead the public. There are discussions that sometimes we decide, yeah, we're going to move forward. We're going to talk about this on the council floor. And then there are other times we say, no, this isn't worth the time to talk about. We're not going to move forward with this. It's not something that we need to discuss at this time.
So when you say budgeted by the ordinance, it gets paid out the second paycheck of December.
I believe that's how it's worded. Yes.
So are you saying that it was budgeted for this fiscal year? Well, you know, it was supposed to be paid out in December and it wasn't?
Correct.
Okay.
And that's how we were alerted to it. And I, based on my communications that I've had with the administration, I guess they weren't aware that the longevity pay was going out to the elected officials until Mayor Mitchell became eligible for it. Because as we know now, he's reached the 10-year time frame. And I think he is in agreement with me where he doesn't think that elected officials should receive longevity pay. The problem that I have with that, though, is if that's the case, it shouldn't have been included in your budget. And that's the discussion we need to have is why are you including money in your budget that you don't intend to actually spend on the purpose that you've included in your budget? That's the real discussion that we need to have. That's the real issue.
And also, to be fair to the counselors that would qualify for it, if it was budgeted, they're expecting that it would they would be getting it. Mm-hmm. So if you don't want them to get it, don't budget it, and then they can plan on not receiving it.
Correct. And so that's all that this was essentially about. We decided, obviously, we didn't decide to talk about it. We decided it wasn't worth the discussion. It wasn't that large of a sum to really fight about. And it was just going to be something that maybe during budget time when it was relevant, we would bring it up and discuss in a public forum. The council, again, everything that we do as a body, especially on that council floor, is public knowledge. It's recorded publicly. It's tracked by the media publicly. So the assertion that anything that we're doing is behind closed doors in any way, it's, you know, very disheartening to hear, especially from a member from the body who is trying to mislead the public and make it out to be that we have something to hide when we don't.
But by that same token, you can then understand why people would ask the question, why was Councilor Morad so upset about that information getting out if it wasn't something that was being done, you know, kind of under the table or behind the scenes?
Well, I guess the only way I can put it is because of the modern day McCarthyism that has come from WBSM.
He's coming back with his own nicknames and one-liners, folks.
That's the only way I can put it is, and the other plain way I can put it is, it's just flat out lies. And I know I'm going to get eviscerated in the next 3 hours, and it is what it is, but it doesn't matter what I do or the council does when they come in here. If we're not, doing the bidding of whatever that week of McCarthyism is happening, we're going to get slapped. And that's what happened. So unfortunately, one of our colleagues has been afraid and has fallen into the trap of doing the bidding of that individual because they're fearful, and the rest of us haven't. So we continue to be lambasted by that individual. And that's why I believe, again, I don't want to speak for Councilor Morad, but I would imagine I understand why she was frustrated, because again, she's following the process as we always have with anything. And you have a new member that comes in and has obviously been misled and whatever other situation and has been feeding information to other individuals. I can even share with you now that private conversations that I've had with this other member has been leaked to other people. So it's, again, not that...
He's not going to say about it. He's talking about Councilor Chiquet, folks.
Again, or I'm talking about Councilor McCarthy. I guess it's interchangeable. But the point that I'm trying to make is, again, it's not that we're hiding anything. It's just, again, as we're working in government, as we're hashing up things and trying to work through typical governmental processes, the general public tends to react negatively. Because if they don't know everything, if they're not aware of the full picture, somebody can come in, and for example, in the next 3 hours, and just give them a soundbite of what they want to be the story or what they want to be the narrative. And then that causes hysteria. And that's when they say the Burgo pay raise, which we know is not the actual case. And guess what? No one on this station will correct. Well, you have, which I appreciate, Tim. But then for the next 3 hours, we're hearing the Burgo pay raise, which is not true. Or for the next 3 hours, we're hearing the counselors are trying to sneak in a pay raise, or the counselors are trying to do this when that is not true. And so that's where the anger and frustration comes in, because we're already dealing with so many other mistruths and misinterpretations from the public. We're trying to gain the trust to show them, no, we're not trying to hurt you. We're trying to do our best here. Especially, for example, during budget time, this council worked together to try to save as much tax dollars as possible to, again, as I mentioned before, I'm not the type of legislator who wants to just hack the budget for the purpose of lowering your taxes. I want to make sure that we're using our tax dollars for the services they're meant for. For example, if we're allocating money for longevity pay, are we paying it out for longevity pay? If we're allocating money for police services, are we actually getting those police services? If we're allocating money for streets, are we actually getting those streets paved? So when we cut that budget and we're trying to work together as a body, but then, for example, counselor from Ward 1, whoever that the Ward 1 counselor is, whether it's Counselor McCarthy or Counselor Choquette, I don't know who's the actual Ward 1 counselor here, the administration comes back and tries to add money, and they vote to add back over $1 million to the budget. But it's because of this council, the overwhelming majority, that we kept that out of the budget. But you won't ever hear about that story during McCarthyism, because that doesn't fit their narrative of the tax and spend liberal Shane Burgo, which I'm not a tax and spend liberal. I'm actually, compared to some of, again, the Ward 1 counselor who try to add back $1 million to the budget, very conservative when it comes to this budget. So that's where the anger and frustration comes from. And you might hear it somewhat in my voice now, and I'm sure that's how it's going to be portrayed in the next 3 hours. But this is why it's so important. This is why it was so important for me to run for council president, because we're tired of it. We're tired of hearing lies, the lies from this station. We're tired of hearing the lies and the McCarthyism that's coming from the next 3 hours that we'll hear about the twists and turns of what we're doing on this council.
So I'm going to just switch it there and call her. Hang on. We will get to you. And I'm actually going to skip over the news because this is more important. But what I will question there in your comments is, you know, I don't think that Councilor Choquette is afraid of Chris McCarthy. I don't think that Chris McCarthy wields enough power to make him afraid of him. I think what the issue here is, and I think a lot of people that are listening will agree with me, is the issue here is the personal relationship between Councilor Choquette and Councilor Morehead. There's an issue there between the two of them, and this is just more further back and forth of them sniping. And, you know, Chris McCarthy could never come in and do another radio show again, but that problem isn't going to go away between those two councilors. And what happened last week was definitely a further breakdown of whatever that relationship still remained to be. That, I think, is the bigger problem, more than what's being said on the radio, because a very small portion of people actually listen to the radio that actually bother to go out and vote.
So, I think that's a fair assessment. The part about the people who actually listen to the radio and go vote, that's clear. But what I would say is I think that the part about what's happening on the radio is what's the breakdown in communication, because we have a colleague who would rather come on the radio and air out grievances rather than do the actual work of diplomacy. And so that's really where the breakdown is.
But then is the response to that to call them a sleaze in a text message to all the other, and accuse two other counselors of possibly being a sleaze when she knew who it was that did it?
Well, again, I don't want to speak for Councilor Morehead, and sure, in all fairness, I think maybe it might not have been appropriate to name call people. We know that. But again, as I mentioned before, I understand some of the anger and frustration that people can feel, especially in the heat of the moment. But again, as adults, there are times when we get heated, we get angry, and we work it out. We're able to talk it through. The better solution, I feel, and this has happened in the past, as I think I alluded to last week, in any work environment, you have situations where people get testy, people get angry, you say things that you might not, at the time, shouldn't you realize afterwards you shouldn't have said, you work it out. The difference, I think, here is we're in a public figure role. Obviously, the public rightfully expects more from us, but so it looks bad and it looks worse than it actually is. I think the better solution would have been to work it out privately. Instead, a certain individual decided to put a brown paper bag on their head. And
That was our idea. That was my idea.
Well,
actually, it was my colleague's idea, but yeah.
Which colleague?
Not Chris McCarthy.
Oh, okay. Well, so, I'm glad you knew where I was going with that.
Someone who had no stake in the story and just thought it would be funny because it was an anonymous source.
But in any case, if you look at those situations, you know, you have one colleague who wants to come in, put a brown paper bag on their head and have a show and do this performative stuff on the air, and one that, yeah, sure, they might have said some hurtful words in a text message, but it was a private text message that I think more so was trying to air out the fact that they were angry and hurt at the fact that that trust was broken. And instead of trying to do the hard work of repairing whatever situation that might have been, made it a bigger issue than it actually was.
All right, let's take this phone call here, and then we'll have to take a break because I'm behind on those. Good morning. You are on with Council President Burgo.
Good morning, Tim. Good morning, Councilor.
Morning.
Really sad. Did I hear something about a stipend instead of a raise?
It's a longevity pay.
Yeah, but it's like a stipend, though, right? You said?
Yeah, it's a one-time payment.
Well, the thing that I just want to bring to you, if you guys can do that for you, for yourselves, why don't you make a stipend for the school committee? That's the only elected body officials that don't get paid. But they gave the dog catcher a $50,000 raise. That's the part of the thing. Yeah, don't you think they deserve a 75, like I've been always saying, a $7,500
Yeah, we talked about this before, Gilly, about the school committee, I believe. And yeah, sure. I think there have been discussions in the past about whether or not the school committee should receive funding. Again, that's something that we'd have to, I believe, work through. I think the school budget would that's a separate entity. But
yeah, that's not something you have control over.
Well, technically, it would be us having to approve it because we, as often I refer to, have control of the purse strings. But yeah, that's definitely something that we can discuss.
Excuse me, that's why I called in, is to, you know, at least you as president now, you can bring this up for them to get a stipend. You know what I mean? You guys are making some serious ones now. You went from, you gave yourselves a 44% raise. So you should at least let them, they do everything. They go to all the plays and all, everything. I think as an elected body, they should at least get a stipend to cover for the gas going back and forth. So that's all I wanted to say when I heard a stipend.
Thanks, sir.
All right, you have a nice day.
All right, we are going to take a quick break here. But I want to bring up that 44% pay raise comes up quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And I think it's one of the most ridiculous things to throw at the council because you still are making the equivalent of a part-time job for a second full-time job. It was something that the council was probably owed long before that mm-hmm. that pay raise went into effect. And if you look at what people get paid for that position, the people who are paid, you know, you're still making less. In many other communities, it's a full-time position, yes. And they're paid full-time. So I don't understand why people get so worked up about that 44% pay raise when you should have had to pay that to the council a long time ago.
And the reason why it seems like such a significant... I wasn't on the council at the time. This was long before I had...
Right, you ran because there was 44% more pay. No, I'm kidding. I'm just teasing. I'm teasing. Yeah.
It seems significant because of the fact that they were so significantly underpaid for many years. I believe they were only making, at one point, $7,000 or $10,000, and then it might have squeaked up. They were able to give themselves small incremental pays, and then I believe during that large increase, there was a connection where they were able to work in inflation, so that way they didn't have to be in a situation again where, again, if we're in 2025 and you're only making $10,000 for the year. Obviously, as you mentioned, other places like Boston City Council, they're making almost six figures for their full-time job. So I think that, again, that's a fair assessment when you're thinking about the work that a lot of us do that is full-time.
And as you said, you're not doing it for the money, but at the same time, it takes a lot of time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's taking away the opportunity to work. And I'm sure many counselors, and I'm sure their employers don't want to hear this, but I'm sure many counselors have to do less at their regular job because there's more demand on them as a counselor.
Oh, well, I'll tell you, I've used a lot of my vacation and personal time, and it's frustrating, especially for my unit at my job, because we're so understaffed as it is, and I have a state job, and we have a hiring freeze right now, so as it is, it's like we're understaffed, and then when I'm taking so much time off to do council business, especially this year, I'll tell you my supervisor is not happy about how much time I've taken off to, so just keep that in mind, the fact that I'm using vacation time, which typically people use vacation time to go on vacation, but a number of my colleagues and myself, we use vacation time from our day job to do work for the city. And so, yeah. I'm glad you brought that up.
All right, let's take a quick break here. We'll be back. We can take more of your calls, 508-996-0500. We'll be right back. All right, we are back with New Bedford City Council President Shane Burgo, taking your phone calls at 508-996-0500. Your app chat message is on the WBSM app. We have a call on the line here. Good morning. You're on with Council President Burgo.
Good morning, Mr. Burgo.
Good morning. Is this Skitty?
Yes, it is.
Wow, what
I
an
do
honor.
Know that.
You have a very distinct voice, and I know you had sent an app chat before, but I've never gotten a call from you, so this is such an honor.
Oh, my stars. Well, thank you.
This feels like one of those moments when you know, it's like long-time listener, first-time caller moments, you know?
Well, you know what? I get nervous. If I was meeting you in person, I'd probably be very nervous. I am right now, as you can tell. I'm tripping over my words.
No need to ever be nervous. I'm just Shane.
Okay, so I just got a question. So with the audit that hasn't happened yet, with the health, I hope this didn't come up because I had to run and take my recycles out and my trash out. But so with the healthcare, you know, the audit healthcare pay that's obviously hasn't been audited yet. I was just wondering what healthcare. You're a state employee, mm-hmm. but as a city councilor, do you get federal Blue Cross Blue Shield? Like, how does the, I'm just curious about this. And are you a part of these, like the school I has, what, 220 school employees and it's $31 million of health insurance. And that's supposed to be being audited. And I'm just curious about how.
Oh, you're talking. Yeah. So us city employees, if we do so city councilors, we do have the option to access the health insurance. I get mm-hmm. my health insurance through my state job because that's my full time employment. I've just stayed with. I work for the DTA. I keep my insurance with the Commonwealth, so I've never made the switch over to the New Bedford, the city of New Bedford health insurance. In any case, our health insurance would be through the city. It's very odd how it works, but the school department, in a sense, has like their own separate budget and health insurance. Although obviously it's all paid through with us, but their budget is separate from essentially the city and their benefits. So we wouldn't access the same school. Benefits as city employees.
Right. And yeah, I was just curious about that because I've known about this. I asked, I think, Mr. McCarthy 3 months ago about this, and it should have been a mayor question, but I was just thinking, you know, I just wanted to hit on that with you.
Well, I can tell you New Bedford Light just had a story about it the other day about how it still hasn't begun.
Hasn't.
Nope.
Right. It hasn't. Yeah, I was going to ask the mayor, like I said, but I just have been waiting. And
yeah, he's away. Well, the mayor's away this week, so I guess technically I'm the acting mayor.
That's another question.
But
I'm so glad you said that.
Now you're going to give McCarthy more fuel.
You're the acting mayor. How does that feel?
It feels no different because it's.
Do you actually go in his office, sit in his chair?
I'm going to test that out today. Actually,
send me a photo if you do. We'll put that up on the WBSM page.
You have to. How funny is that? Yeah, you're the acting mayor. Oh my gosh, that must. I don't know. How does that feel to you?
No, it's actually such a.
Well,
it was a pleasure to get to meet you on air here, Sketty. Thank you for
your
call.
Oh, you're welcome.
No, it's such a silly ordinance that's so outdated.
It's not really needed anymore.
No, and it really goes back to the old days of horse and buggy. I think when the mayor's gone for more than a 24-hour period, you know, if you had to catch him by telegram, I think, and there was an issue. I forget the exact wording in the ordinance where it's like. Matters notwithstanding, you know, I forget, I forget the wording, but it's something that's if there's an emergency and they can't reach the mayor, but we know now in 2025, we could call the mayor right now and he'd say, hello, what's going on? And he could give orders from wherever he is. He could go to Aruba, wherever on vacation. And if there was a disaster here, they could call him and say, what do you want to do, Mayor Mitchell? And he would give the orders. So it's really just a ceremonial purpose. So, for example, like he won't be here for the Irish flag raising that will happen on Friday. So I'll just stand in for him. Last month when some dignitaries from Cabo Verde were here visiting and he was not here, I was able to stand in as acting mayor. So those little ceremonial events, I do appreciate the...
I remember, wasn't a couple of years ago, I think he might have been ill. And when Councilor Abreu was the council president, he had to kick off the half marathon.
Yeah, so just little events like that, it actually comes in handy. But other than that, the actual, I guess, important factors. So I think... during McCarthy Hour, he'll be happy to hear that everything's fine.
So you're not going to pull a Diana DeSaglio and have a whole plan to put into place for that one day you might get to be mayor, like she did when she got to be governor for, well, she thought she was going to be governor for a day.
Yes. Yeah. No, I don't have that thought process. No.
I don't want to keep harping on the issues of last week, but there's still a lot of questions as a result of that. Is there any kind of reprimand that might happen to either of the counselors based on the fact that this information, you know, went out publicly and turned into this whole public spectacle? Is there anything you would do as council president?
No. And the reason behind that, too, is what I want to mention. As elected officials, we only answer to the people. Though that's our reprimand. You know, and I think I've mentioned this before, too, after the council presidency race that was blown up again because of McCarthyism. The council presidency really is not a hall monitor or someone who's here to, like, slap someone's wrist. I'm not in charge of the counselors. I'm not their boss. The people of New Bedford who elect them are their boss. So if people are upset with any particular counselor, that's up to them to reprimand them. I honestly, again, as you brought up, I think this was blown out of proportion. It's really not that serious of an issue. I think that it will mend itself, essentially. And honestly, you know, Councilor Troquette released information. He's been leaking information this whole entire time. It is what it is. It's obviously unfortunate. But that's just the information that we end up sharing. We're used to being in the public eye. We know what it's like to be scrutinized.
It's hard to say leaking information when you're saying that everything you do is for the public.
Correct. So that's why I'm saying it's not that big of a... Essentially, it's not a big of a deal. The bigger issue here, to your earlier point, is not so much about what he leaked. It's just the fact that he did it. And it's such a...
It's a trust issue with
correct.
Each other.
And that's really what the underlying issue here is. It's not, again, I want to harp on the idea that we have nothing to hide here. It's just that we didn't want to discuss this longevity pay because, again, it's not an issue for us. We're just saying, okay, fine, we didn't get it this year. The money was allocated for. The taxpayers are paying for this allocated funding, but it wasn't released for its intended purpose. And this is a part of why I think this council has continuously, for the past at least 3 years I've been on in reviewing this budget, have taken a closer look at this budget, because we've seen that services that we have allocated funding for have not received those services. So in that same regard, here's another service that the taxpayers are paying for, and it has not been expended. So that's all. We just decided we weren't going to have that discussion. So the bigger issue here is not necessarily that information's out there and that we're discussing it. It's just when that information is leaked to the wrong person, they can end up, you know, getting people riled up and hype up things to bigger proportions than it actually is.
Well, is there a faction within the council? Is there, for lack of a better term, a fear of Councilor Morad? I mean, it's been portrayed as, you know, she's ruling the council with an iron fist and people are afraid to cross her. Is that what you would assess this as? Is she's kind of appointed herself the leader of the family and everybody better go along with the family? Because I find that to be an unfair characterization.
I would agree. That's very unfair characterization. I think that, of course, yes, Councilor Morad, and I think I've shared this previously when I've been on air during South Coast Tonight, when that was on multiple times when people have attacked Councilor Morad. Especially during Women's History Month, I think this is a great conversation to have, that she's just a strong personality. She's a strong leader. She has a strong voice. Sometimes I don't agree with her politics. I think we've talked about this many times. I'm a Democrat, we all know, and she's a Republican. And we've had arguments. We've had disagreements. The difference is sometimes, because she is a woman, when she gets... as people like to put it, angry or forceful or as a tyrant, as some of the characterizations people use, it comes off as a different way. But if she were a man, and I know people, I'm surprised the phones aren't lighting up because I said that.
They will. You got to give it a couple seconds because there's a delay.
Oh, they have to dial it to you. Oh, that's true. It's delayed. But if she were a man, they would say, wow, what a powerful leader she is. What a strong leader she is. But because she's a woman, she's a, I can't say that word on air, but you can imagine the words that I've heard about Counselor Moore that I always push back on.
The misogynistic words, yes.
Yes, and it's disgusting. And so that's the unfortunate part. And I think a lot of times what happens is there are men that come into the council who think that they are stronger and more powerful and that they can walk over the women in our council. And they learn very quickly that that's not how this works. We are all equal. And we all have a voice. And then they realize quickly that they are not as strong or as powerful. And then they have to find other ways to feel strong and powerful. So they make up excuses for feeling inept and insignificant.
All right. With that, we're going to take our final break because you just made me feel insignificant. I just got to go press a button over here. No, I'm just kidding. We got to take this break. We'll be back. We can try to squeeze in another call or two, 508-996-0500. And welcome back. About the final minute or so with Council President Shane Burgo. And just in the final minute, anything you want to get out there that's happening this week? I know you said the Irish flag raising is happening on Friday.
Yes. Is that March 14th? Is that the Friday?
Yes. Friday's
the 14th. March 14th at 10 a.m. I hope everyone will be there to show their Irish spirit. And then also, again, just to highlight the council committee meeting, the Public Safety and Neighborhoods Committee, which is chaired by Councilor at Large Brian Gomes. That's at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, March 11th. And then again, tonight, I hope to see a number of people at the West End Neighborhood Group. That's again at 6 p.m. at the Kearney Academy. And then, of course, we have our city council meeting on Thursday at 7 p.m. That council agenda has not been finalized yet, but if you want any highlights of that, I'm sure you can reach out to one of our colleagues to send you the leaked email ahead of time. Yeah.
Well, next we meet, it'll be St. Patrick's Day. Are you a corned beef and cabbage guy?
I am only during the Irish Gala at Century House. It's the only time I eat my corned beef and cabbage. Other than that, I'm not a big fan, I guess.